Turn your attention, please, to the book of Matthew today. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. The title of the message this morning is, What Will You Do With Jesus? What will you do with the King? We'll begin reading in verse 1. If you would, please stand in respect to the Word of God. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. They came saying, Where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go, search carefully for the young child. When you have found him, bring back word. Bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, I praise you. Lord, I praise you for Jesus Christ, our Savior. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to celebrate the birth of our Savior. Father, here and now, nothing else is important except Jesus Christ. And so I pray that in this message, that your Spirit will have free reign in the hearts of the hearers. I pray that, Lord, there will be a response to your word. For the lost, I pray that they will respond by calling upon you for salvation. To those who have drifted, I pray that they will draw near to you. To those, Lord, who have grown cold, I pray that once again the fires of revival would burn in their hearts. Father, we pray your will be done here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I'm a simple kind of guy. I like to just cut right to the point, keep it simple, and here we go. Right? So today we're going to have three simple points, depending on how you look at it, maybe six simple points, but I'm sticking with three, right? Three simple points about how the people in this story viewed this king of the Jews, Jesus. We look at the wise men. The wise men, it says, they sought the king. And I want you to understand first, you know, we have a lot of misconceptions about the wise men, right? And the manger scene that is everywhere you see Jesus lying in this bale of hay, straw, in this little wooden manger. Well, first of all, he wasn't lying in a wooden manger. You know that, right? It would have been rock, hewn out rock. Secondly, the shepherds were not there at the birth of Jesus. No, I'm sorry. The wise men were not there at the birth of Jesus. Okay? The shepherds had long gone by the time the wise men got there. The star appeared to announce the birth of Jesus to the wise men, and they had to travel a long way to get to where this child was. And there's no record anywhere of how there were three wise men. There were just simply three gifts, so we portray it as being three wise men. It was most likely a caravan because this was a big deal. They would have traveled with security. They would have traveled with servants. This was a big deal. When they set out to come to Israel to see this newborn king, it would have been a caravan of people. Just simply because that's what was required at that time. Now, understanding these men were very, very educated. They were educated in astrology. They were educated in dream interpretation. They were most likely educated in medicine. And if you look in the Old Testament, Daniel, the prophet Daniel, would have been one of these magi or wise men, if you will, when he was in Babylonian captivity. And so I think that gives us insight as to how these guys knew, because, you know, the first thought is, who were these guys? They were just pagan guys from nowhere. How did they have any idea about the birth of a child in Israel, even though the star announced it? How did they know to look for the star? I think it was passed down from Daniel. Because Daniel the prophet, of course, was in Babylonian captivity. And what they did was this. When those wise men, those magi, if you will, when they would interpret a dream, they'd write it down. Okay? So that the next generation would have something to refer to. If somebody else had that dream again, they'd go to the book of dreams and they'd look and see what it meant. Same way with medicine or anything that they knew, they recorded it and they would pass that down to the next generation. It's my belief, opinion, a little bit of opinion here, it's my belief that Daniel had recorded things during his lifetime and it had been passed down to these wise men or magi, and that's how they knew to watch for the star. So they had seen this star in the east, and they knew this star meant the birth of the King of the Jews. And so they went to Jerusalem. Now, understand too, they didn't follow the star to Jerusalem. They saw the star, and they went to Jerusalem. Why? Because that's the capital of Israel. And they go, it only makes sense. They only follow the star when they leave Jerusalem. If you'll notice in the text, right? They see the star once again in the east and rejoice. They follow it to a house. But up to this point, they travel to Jerusalem because they don't know where to go. And Jerusalem is the capital. And so they go to Jerusalem to try to find this king. Considering all this brings us down to one point. I said it's going to be simple, right? These guys wanted one thing and one thing only. They came to worship the King of the Jews. That's it. They came to worship the King of the Jews. No frills, no anything. They came to honor this king that they knew would one day rule Israel. Then there was Herod. Old Herod, now, he opposed the king. See, Herod was immediately threatened when the wise men showed up. They began to ask questions. Where is he who is born King of the Jews? And so that question immediately threatened King Herod, if you will. And it says in the text, he was troubled. That word troubled is terrified, along with all Jerusalem with him. And the reason Herod was so terrified was because he was not the rightful king. He had been appointed by the Roman government as king of the Jews, or king of Israel at that point. And he was not of the lineage of David, which was a requirement to be the king of Israel. Right? So immediately he knew I'm not supposed to be here. And as a matter of fact, he wasn't even in he was a descendant of Esau, not Jacob, where Jacob's where the 12 tribes came from. He was a descendant of Esau. And so just as soon as they ask this question, and when they ask this question, I want you to understand how they ask it. It's not, where is he that is born king of the Jews? It is, where is he who has legitimate claim to be king of the Jews by birth? Makes sense, right? They knew, Herod knows, he's just here because of his appointment. And so Herod was very, very paranoid about his position. Okay? He was so much so that when they ask him the question, where is he who's born king of the Jews? The wheels start turning. Okay, what am I going to do to save my throne? This guy was so insecure that if the thought ever crossed his mind that somebody might take his position away, he'd kill him. No question. He killed wives. He killed sons. He killed brothers-in-laws. He killed anyone that he thought, and it was all under suspicion of treason, to take his throne away. That was just his mentality. As a matter of fact, Caesar Augustus made the comment that he said, I would rather be Herod's pig than be his son. You'd live longer that way. So he asked the chief, you know, Herod's immediately on the defensive, and he asked the chief priests and the scribes, where's the Messiah supposed to be born? And immediately they know, they answer him from the book of Micah chapter 5 that he's to be born in Bethlehem. So Herod calls the wise men to him and said, look, he's to be born in Bethlehem. You go find him and send word back to me so that I can worship him also. And he really meant that. No, he didn't. He said, send word back to me so I can come kill him. He was immediately plotting to kill Jesus. Now, Jesus, and we know how that story goes, that the wise men were warned by God in a dream, and so they didn't go back and tell Herod where Jesus was. And Herod was furious, so much so that he sent to Bethlehem and had every male child under the age of 2 years old killed. What an insane man. But that he was so threatened. His goal was not to worship the king. His goal was to preserve his way of life and to preserve his throne and empire. Now let's look at one more group. There were the priests and the scribes, right? Now, the priest and the scribes, when Herod asked them exactly where the Messiah was to be born, there was no hesitation. These guys knew. He was to be born in Bethlehem. The reason these guys were so intelligent was a scribe. You know what a scribe did, right? Scribe copied the scripture. His job was to sit down. They didn't have Xerox copiers back then. His job was just to sit down and write out the scripture so there would be copies. What a wonderful job. Amen? Wouldn't you love to do that? I'm going to tell you what would happen if you did that. You would learn the word very quickly. If you've ever tried that, sit down and write a book of the Bible, it'll amaze you how much stays with you. Right? So the scribes were the experts about what was in the Word of God. The Pharisees also knew because they too were the experts. They were the lawyers of that day. Now, we think of lawyers today of our civil judicial system. That was not it. See, lawyers of that day were Pharisees, and their law was based upon the Word of God. And so they were experts in the Word of God so that they could practice and make rulings according to the laws of God. And what I want you to notice here, they were in Jerusalem. They were 5 miles from Bethlehem. Bethlehem's 5 miles south of Jerusalem. They were 5 miles from Bethlehem. They heard the announcement that the Magi had come to see this king who was born king of the Jews. They'd heard, all of Jerusalem knew. And you know what they did? Nothing. Nothing. They did not travel 5 miles to see this king. They did nothing. Nor did Jerusalem. I find it very amazing that God had to announce the birth of the king of the Jews to wise men from another country and the shepherds who were keeping sheep out in the field. You know why? Because nobody else would come. Everybody else was busy. So, we're getting to the point of this message, right? The first Christmas, Jesus was born. Everybody was doing their thing. We go back and we address Herod. As I said, Herod had all the babies under two killed. And a short time after that fact that he had all the babies of, or the male babies of Bethlehem killed after that, right after that, guess what happened to him? He contracted a horrible, loathsome disease. Fever, ulcerated inside. He had convulsions. His condition deteriorated so terribly that people could not stand to be around him for the stench while he was still alive. When I was in Israel some years ago, our guide was telling us the story how that he was in his palace and that people could hear his cries of agony miles away. It was so bad. Until ultimately, he died. And you know what this man did just before he died? Herod had a lot of prominent Jewish citizens arrested. And he gave the order that when he died, that these prominent Jewish citizens were to be killed so that there would be mourning at his death. He said, I know nobody will cry for me, but at least there will be mourning when I die. You know what is never affiliated with the name Herod? Joy. Joy. He was fighting to keep what he had. He was fighting to hold on to his position. He was, everything in his life was preserved. What I have as king of Israel, even though I do not rightfully have it. And he never found joy. Go back to the priest and the scribes. They were the ones who were supposed to turn the hearts of the people to this Messiah. They're the ones that had all the information. They're the ones that should have been the most excited. Our Messiah is born. But they were too busy building their own kingdom and their religious empire. They didn't want a Messiah. They wanted to be the upper crust of that society. They wanted their own kingdom, their own religious system, and boy, they built it too. That's why when Jesus appeared on the scene, that they didn't receive Jesus. Because Jesus didn't come under their religious system that they had built. You know what's never associated with scribes and priests? Joy. Joy. You know, we sing a song called Joy to the World, the Lord has come. I want to ask you, do you have joy this Christmas? See, there are a lot of people, and I've learned, it amazed me because I've heard people make the comment, Christmas is the saddest time and the most depressing time of the year. It's because you're looking at the wrong thing. You know what Christmas is about? We go back to the wise men. All they wanted was to worship the King. Listen, when you set your eyes on worshiping the King, all the other stuff doesn't matter. You see, the outcome of the wise men, when we look at what they did there in verse 10, read that with me, or take a look at that. When they saw the star, they rejoiced. They weren't just happy, but they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They saw that star. They left Herod, and God gave them that star, and that's when they began to follow it. And that star, which is, you know, stars usually move from east to west, isn't it? Right? Well, this one moved from north to south. So you know it was a God star. Right? Bethlehem, south of Jerusalem. And they saw that star and they thought, yes! Yes! We're going to see the King. My fear of Christmas is that people forget to focus on the King. When the wise men saw the star, they followed it. When they got there, they got to a house. Remember when I told you in the beginning, he wasn't out in a manger. He was in a house by now. That's why Herod had 2 years and younger killed. But when they got there, it says they worshipped. And they offered gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gold representing the value of a king. Listen, you're not going to experience the joy of Christmas until you value the King of Christmas. Right? Till you realize the value of Jesus. You know, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to worship Jesus during Christmas and have special Christmas celebrations. But the value of Jesus is not just at Christmas. The value of Jesus is 365 days a year. These guys knew this king was deity, and they offered him gold in worship. They offered him frankincense, again, representing his deity. You know, incense in the Bible represent the prayers of the saints ascending to the throne of God. The picture is Jesus, this king, being the hope of the Jews, the hope of the world, as a matter of fact. And finally, they offered him myrrh. You know what myrrh was? That was, I guess, the equivalent of that day to modern-day embalming fluid, representing the death of Jesus Christ. These guys knew what Jesus was about. They knew that he was born a king. They knew that he was God in the flesh. They knew that he would die for the sins of mankind. That's why they came to worship the King. Brings us to the question, what will you do with the King? You know what? I enjoy family time at Christmas. I enjoy special church services at Christmas. But the thing I enjoy most about Christmas is when we worship the King. It's the best part. When I'm able to turn everything else off and, you know, the activities and where I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to be doing, and all, when I'm able to just turn that off and just stop and worship Jesus as the King of Kings, that's when Christmas becomes most special and most appreciated. Do you know Him? Again, we ask the question, what will you do with Jesus? If you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, let me explain to you, He is your only hope of salvation. Okay? And today, He's brought you here so that you may know that you are a sinner. We all are sinners. Amen? According to the Word of God, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's everybody here. There's none exempt from that. Ah, but Jesus came to give His life upon Calvary to pay your sin debt and mine. And He came so that you could freely receive the gift He paid for on Calvary. Are you saved? If not, we're going to give you a chance to call upon Jesus Christ today. If you are saved and you've kind of got lost in the stuff, let's just call it the stuff of Christmas, I want to challenge you. Let's lay it all down. Let's let it all go. It'll be there tomorrow when you pick it up, right? And let's just worship Jesus. Let's honor Him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in this invitation. Heavenly Father, oh, we do come to worship You today, to rejoice in the birth of Your Son, who was God in the flesh, who come to this earth to be the sacrifice for our sin. And now we come to the point of the service, Lord, where we're supposed to respond to You. And Father, I pray that You will convict of sin, that You will draw all men to You. I pray above all that Your will be done. Give us the heart to respond. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.